Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. We've had a great time as of late, kicking it old school. We've had a lot of old friends in the program. On the podcast, of course, Richard Garner is a regular. We had the one and only Jason Gold on the show the other night as Jason Gold tries to stay safe in Montreal. But enough talk about the virus. Let's talk some NFL football. Let's talk about the NFL draft with the number one Supercharger fan in the world, who I'm interested to see whether he's already ordered a Justin Herbert jersey or not. Jeff Feinberg steps up. And what's up, Feinberg?
How's it going, Morenci? I just got to say, I love NFL drafts. Like, I love, you know, people make fun of guys that like the draft. I love the draft. I got a bunch of friends under normal circumstances would get together for the draft. But the quarterback dynamic of this year's draft.
Yeah, you usually actually get into the crowd royal and the McCain cakes and everything on draft night, don't you? It's a big night for you, right?
Yeah, me and my buddies, we have a great, like, you know, roundup. Even as we've gotten older and have kids, we always, like, it's like an April get-together, like draft night. Like, there's no excuses. It's, like, mandatory, like it's week one. So it's sad to sort of, you know, not have that as much as, you know, people are missing out on other things. But the quarterback dynamic for the draft took all, like, the fun out of it for me. The lead-up last night, nothing has been fun when you need a quarterback. It's a much more stressful, like, time, and that was certainly the case for me.
And it's one of those deals where it doesn't really matter. It's funny being when you're a real fan of a team. You cannot want a guy, or you can really have wanted this guy or that guy. Right, but ultimately, like, I know you wanted Tua before. You were saying, all right, hopefully we can get Tua out of this. You don't, but it doesn't take long to go get into the, screw Tua. Herbert's our guy. I love Tua. I like the kid a lot. The second he was a Miami Dolphin, it's funny how my perception changed. I was like, yeah, he's not that good. We'll kick the shit out of him. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the first thing I went from. I love this kid. I hope things work out, too. Yeah, whatever. He's all right. I'm not worried about him for a few years. That's what suddenly it turned into. It's funny how, like, it changes right away.
You're absolutely right. I did want Tua. I don't know that was if me just buying into, like, the hype and the superstar nature that it is. But I don't know. I remember seeing this guy ranked as a number one overall pick for 2 years. So I thought that would have been amazing for the Chargers to get him. And Herbert's name was in the process the entire time. And, you know, he has all the traits. He has all the traits. He's an incredibly intriguing prospect. And, you know,
he looks like a Charger, Jeff. I know, like, it's easier to say after. It's sort of like it's like the red dot on George Costanza's shirt. You only see it because you know it's there, right? Like, it's one of those things that once it's done. But Herbert, look, I mean, the kid even had a Charger on, jersey, T-shirt on when he was a kid, right? He's one of these kids that grew up wanting to play football. He does. He's not a Charger fan per se, but he had a Charger T-shirt when he was a kid. And he just is the part. You know, what they go from Phillip Rivers, from a big guy, you know, they get another big guy in here.
He's Phillip who can move sideways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, it's an interesting fit. And also, I don't know, like Tua, I haven't seen him in a Dolphin jersey yet because, like you said, that stuff's taken away from us. But he looks like a Dolphin. Like, it's just a good fit. Tua in Miami, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it seems to make sense. It's a good fit for the kids stylistically wise. So, and none of us know, Jeff. We all bitch, right? Who knows?
Listen, we all, and you'll respect this take. Part of the reason I think after it's all said and done, I like kind of feel pretty good about how it all shaped out. It's because, like, everyone who knows nothing is, like it's all about Tua being amazing. And everyone, I don't know, like, just the general public. It never works out how people seem to think. And I don't want to knock Tua. Tua is a great player. You're a division rival of him now. I guess there's going to be a lifelong bond between Burrow, Tua, and Herbert when they do play head-to-head, Gabe. But you look at Herbert's body type, his arm strength, his mobility, his smarts. I mean, he literally played under three offenses. He never had one true star player around him. He didn't have a very good offensive line. His QB rating never dropped below 144. Tua had the best receivers, the best offensive line, the best coaching. Like, you know, imagine, I like to ask myself, what if Justin Herbert spent 2 years at LSU or Alabama? What sort of prospect would we be talking about today?
Oh, it's definitely a good point. Tua has
and
all.
That's me, hyping up my own end of the coin.
No, it's true.
How it flipped.
There's different, right? That's the whole thing to this, Jeff, and you know this. There's no exact science to it, right? Eli Manning wasn't like 10-2 every year at Ole Miss, yet the guy was a big time, big game quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I brought this up too. Something that gets me is all the time where regionally, well, the kid's a West Coast kid, so he's going to play on the West Coast. I'm like, it has nothing to do with anything. Yeah, you know what I mean? Brett Favre's not a cold weather guy. He's one of the greatest cold weather quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers from California.
Brady.
Tom Brady's from California, plays in the snow. People, Josh Allen played at Wyoming. Oh, he's got a cannon. He's perfect fit for Buffalo. Yes, he is. He also is from the Bay Area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he did not grow up in snow. Yeah, he played at Wyoming, and he didn't like it. It was cold for him, and he got used to it. That's what everybody said. I know another guy from California, Los Angeles. He played at Colorado State, and he played in the NFL with the Broncos. Dave Anderson, he played with the Broncos, the Texans, et cetera. And he played, and he was talking about how, like, he hated cold weather. Like, you know what I mean? Yet he was good at it. He basically stated, I hated it. He told a hilarious story, too. You're going to like this, Feinberg. He's from California. So it's cold as hell, man. He goes to Colorado State. It's cold as hell up there. And he puts his helmet. He's not used to this. So it's like early in the season. So he puts his helmet. He puts his helmet like right in front of one of those old like space heaters. They used to have those things that just like blow out hot air at you. You know what I mean? So he put his helmet in front of it. And they call his name. They're like, Anderson, get in there. Get in there.
Fucking melted?
Yeah, he grabs his helmet. The helmet was like sizzling. It singed into his head when he put the helmet on. Kid's like a freshman going out there. Said all of his hair caught fire on the field and stuff. It singed his hair. Because he was laughing. He goes, that was my introduction to cold weather. And he goes, you know what? You actually get used to it. Then he goes, I learned never to put my helmet too close to the heater ever again. And he started laughing about it. But, you know, it's all perception. We don't know how these guys are going to turn out. But for me, let me ask you.
Josh Allen is a pretty good comparison probably to Herbert.
In many ways. And Herbert's more polished than Allen was.
Yeah, definitely more polished and, you know, maybe a bit higher football IQ, you think. I don't know. I don't even need to go there. But, I see them as very similar.
We don't know. We don't know that, right? I mean, Herbert could do stupid things, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And yeah, there are some dumb things on tape. I've watched a lot of his tape in the last month. Not like the game film, but like people watching his tape, me watching them per se. But did Allen start right away?
No, he did not. He did not start right away, right out of the gate. He didn't start like... He didn't start.
So late. Yeah. He's the second half of the year he played, though, right?
Yeah. They brought him in. Yeah. They, you know, it was pretty fast, though. It wasn't long. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even the second half. It was like week six, five, six, whatever the hell it was. But he didn't come out of the gate in week one. And it'll be interesting to see. That's my deal, actually. I don't think he'll beat Tyrod Taylor out for the job.
No, he's not going to beat Tyrod Taylor out of the job. Anthony Lynn loves Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, like, he doesn't turn the ball over, him. Right? Anthony Lynn's all about ball control. Don't turn the ball over. Tyrod doesn't
Phillip
turn
Rivers
it over.
If Phillip Rivers was a five-year starter, he wouldn't have played in December.
You're right.
He would have been benched. But, you know, the season, you know, is what it is. And from a draft perspective, Gabe, that's why, I mean, I'm happy the Chargers didn't go 8-8. 8-8, who knows where they're picking last night if they go 8-8. But Anthony Lynn's wanted Tyrod to get in there. Anthony Lynn wants the pocket to move sideways, a very Mike Shanahan-type offense that you see in San Francisco and some other places in the league. Move that pocket sideways, and we'll see. Almost like a poor man's version. The Chargers and Bills, I mean, the Bills have got a head start, but the Chargers will look a lot like the Bills, I think, on offense with both Herbert and Taylor. And they're both, I think, poor man versions of what the Ravens have proven it can be.
The kid could throw the ball. Herbert, like, you see the throws that he makes. That's that, you know, that was the big key for him. Big body as well. There's a lot to like about him. Let me ask you, though. So it's, you're in a weird spot. You're sort of built to win now, but you're also sort of positioned for the future as well. So there's a nice balance there with the Chargers. But at the same point in time, when are they ready to win? You know what I mean? Like, so is this the team now? So is it the plan? And all right, we get Herbert, and Herbert comes together fast, and we win with these guys that we have right now? Or do they envision, you know what, we're going to be really good in 4 years? They're in a weird spot. Like I said, it's not like, okay, you know what I mean? Our quarterback's a problem now. They've got Tyrod Taylor. It'll be an interesting battle. I guess it's whoever wins the job, right? Tyrod's going to be a hard guy to beat out.
I don't see I'll say it again, Gabe. I really don't think there's a chance Herbert wins the job. Even listening in on, you know, even they showed you Telesco calling Herbert, like, they want to, like, mold this guy. They love the traits, as you see, and they want to mold the imperfections. They're really going to, he's not going to play all year unless Tyrod gets hurt. And Tyrod has a history getting hurt, though. So, yeah, it could be week three, like, oh, my God, holy shit, Feinberg. Put the ball down, like.
No. It could like, be, even if they're 4-4. Even if they're 4-4 or something, right? As I, we're 4-4 or 8 weeks in here. Let's get the kid in here.
Tyrod Taylor,
He's got a career. You can see it going down like that. No, he is. He's a 9-7, 8-8 type of guy.
Yeah, that, his career start, he's got 46 career starts or 45. He's like 25-21. He's got 50 touchdowns to like 25 interceptions.
He didn't have great talent around him in Buffalo either.
No, and that's the thing. Even in Cleveland, I mean, I more look at everything that happened in Buffalo. Cleveland, let's remember, this guy was in like a Hugh Jackson fucking shit show there. So I almost like, that's almost a write-off to me. And yes, the Chargers, could they use another playmaker? Absolutely. But is Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, Hunter Henry exponentially better than anything Tyrod Taylor's ever come into a huddle with? It is. It is the best. And he sat there, and I think like a lot of teams, Gabe, they're going to benefit, without who knows how training camps and OTAs are going to happen. Like, he's been there. Anthony Lynn knows Tyrod from Buffalo. He brought him over in last year. It's going to be incredibly difficult for Herbert to beat him out. And I don't even think the Chargers or Coach Lynn want Herbert to beat them out. That would be a big red flag. Like, that would mean Tyrod Taylor had a horrible camp, if he's going to get beat out. because the Chargers don't want that to even happen, I would think.
Well, think about the Chargers, too. I guess, you know, you have to be realistic and look at the big picture in that even with another quarterback, you're winning the Super Bowl right now this year. Like I said, the Chargers are an interesting team. They're not bad, but they're not quite ready to win a championship, right? They're sort of in this in-between.
No, but I think they're going to try to win it in, like, Herbert's, like, third year. Like
they, yes. Well, that, that's
like
my
the
point.
Rookie the rookie contract window, they're going to be able to re-sign Bosa. You know, Bosa doesn't even want to talk extension. He's waiting for, like, a new salary cap stuff to sort of come in. They got a lot of
might
guys
be
to
smaller.
they got some guys to re-sign this upcoming offseason, the one upcoming, and Keenan Allen and Joey Bosa. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't think Bosa will go anywhere. Yeah, at least that's who they would franchise tag. But yeah, it's a weird, it's a interesting dynamic of a team because the defense is certainly ready to win now, and the offense has some really developed pieces. They play in a division with the Chiefs, which is kind of demoralizing, but that extra playoffs wild card spot, I mean, the Chargers, you know, I'm in a division with Patrick Mahomes. The NFL could not have been the NFL playoff system was perfect, Gabe. I thought it was perfect. But as someone who's in a division with Patrick Mahomes, they could not have instituted a new playoff spot at a better time in my life.
No, no, you're right. It's almost like the Charger. But, you know, it's a good point that if you're the Chargers, you know, like I said, you have to be realistic. It's like, are we winning right now? No. But it doesn't mean we're tanking right now. And
I mean,
the Chiefs, Mahomes is good. He's not just like, he's not a fluke. So it's not like, oh, he's suddenly going to, you know, regress. But like all championship caliber teams, all right, let's say they go on another run. Like, how many do they really have in them? This year, next year, you know what I mean? Like, all right, Mahomes is going to be – he's going to be a bitch, but he's not winning. It's not the NBA, bro. No team in NFL wins 6 years in a row. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Gabe,
he'll be a pain in the ass, but he's not going to be in your face forever. You know what I mean?
I was saying this the week after the Super Bowl. I give full credit to Chiefs country. They're such hardcore fans. We know a bunch of them. They're loyal. They love football. They deserve to be Super Bowl champions and whatever. But – after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, they were literally like a woman at the doctor's office, like telling the doctor, we're having triplets, as in three Super Bowls. And the doctor's like, no, you're just having one kid right now. Like, maybe it's possible to go out, have sex, have more kids, but there's one kid here, folks. You're not having triplets yet. So, absolutely. But to the Chargers, Gabe, I think they're in a, like, their front office thinks they're kind of in a win now. I mean, they signed Brian Bulaga, Linval Joseph, and Chris Harris in the offseason. Those are not moves to sort of think that you're not going to be very competitive. They went 2-9 in one-score games last year, and Philip threw 20 interceptions. That's why they were 5-11. A lot of people like the roster. I'm flattered at the complimentary things people say about the roster, but – yeah, I don't know. Will just Tyrod not turning the ball over make them a wildcard team? If the defense stays healthy, who knows? I mean, Joey Bosa and Derwin James have never played like a game where they were both at full health together.
Health has been an issue for this team. And so has luck. They haven't had football luck over the last couple of years. I don't know if it's like some sort of Spanos karma.
They'll be one of the few teams that will have no problem playing in front of the zero fan September.
Yeah, you know what though? I had a guy on that covers the Chargers, Gil Manzano.
Gilbert Manzano. Yeah, OC Register.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. We had him on, and we were talking about the LA market and stuff. And you know, I've lived there before. It's changed probably a little bit in that long, but not really from a sports perspective. And the Chargers, like, people would turn on the Rams in a heartbeat there, bro.
Heartbeat.
Like if the Chargers went 14-2, then you're the hot team in town. That's the way that city works. So, and you look at the Rams. The Rams seem like, you know what I mean, your future is brighter than the Rams' future. The Rams seem, they don't really know what they're doing. The Rams went all in to win a Super Bowl. They didn't, and now they're sort of in nowhere's land. Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The podcast rolls on. We're kicking it with Jeff Feinberg. We could talk for hours, but I want to get some thoughts on some other teams as well, in the division. So, looking at the Chargers, and we were just saying as we went to the break that L.A., man, you can – it's not like the Clippers where Kawhi gets booed and people are like, screw you, we're Laker fans anyways. We don't even care if you guys are good. The Rams don't have that. You know what I mean? Like, Herbert could be the big star in this city and – and, in a couple of years, football-wise, you look, Jared Goff has probably already peaked. McVay, the little honeymoon with McVay seems to be over. The Rams seem to have sort of pulled the old fleece job. Let's, hype it up, sign all these players, get money for the stadium, and then, not care. And then you guys are sort of lingering right here. So it's the Chiefs division right now. Yet the other teams in a division, I like where they're going. You know what I mean? It's almost like the Patriots, where the Patriots are going to own it for a couple of years. But then, the Bills were the ones left standing. We're ready. We're poised to step up now. Same thing. Like I say, KC's not going to terrorize everyone forever. I like what the Raiders are doing. And specifically, you as a Charger fan, and I'm just thinking, three years from now could be a big, big game, man. The Charger-Bronco rivalry continues. Drew Lock versus Justin Herbert. But they've got Melvin Gordon. Drew Lock did look good. I like the kid, actually. Drew Lock looked good down the stretch last year. They started to get Fangio's defense. They'll be better defensively this year. He's got a complicated defensive scheme that takes a while to get accustomed to, and they started to get accustomed to it. You want to talk about hard luck losses last year? The Broncos got screwed. Yeah.
Like early, they got for sure, yeah.
By the league, like bad calls. I remember I won too. I was always
a Bears game and a Jags game in the early season.
PI, roughing the passer penalties, giving they gave the Bears one of those games, the league. But anyways, and then they get Jerry Jeudy falls into their lap. As a Charger fan, you must be looking over at Denver and going, "Hey, I see you guys. You guys are building something over here."
Yeah, I actually think. Listen, Kansas City and their $100 of cap room, they're bringing the band back. And that's what you do. You win a Super Bowl, you owe it to the team and the fans, you bring the band back together. That's a great job for them, and congratulations. But I've closely seen very good things out of both Oakland and Denver. Denver, you mentioned it. You mentioned a couple players, but I thought they made a couple very savvy trades. Even though they let Chris Harris go to the Chargers, one of the better slot corners in the league, and that will help the Chargers. I think they improve at corner. They traded for A.J. Boye in the Jaguars fire sale, and they got Jarrell Casey from the Titans for a seventh-round pick. He's one of the better defensive tackles in the league. Those guys that don't – unless, you're Namda Kong Su, you don't really get much press. But, I don't really know why they signed Melvin Gordon, but he's not a bad football player. He annoys me.
And they got him for a good deal, right? 16 mil for 2 years.
So – and then you mentioned adding Jeudy. They have a true home field advantage always there. Nick Fangio.
Look at their skill position players. So you've got Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton,
Noah Fant. All right. Noah Fant's very, very good. Like he's a stud young tight end. Judy is could be really, really good. You bring in Melvin Gordon. Skill position wise, this team's come leap and bounce. You know, leap and bounce.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Chubb and Miller getting to play healthy on defense. They've sort of revamped the defense. A lot of the older players they've exiled out in the last couple of years. And Von Miller might be, you know, this might be his last year there. Nonetheless, you're not wrong. And I've noticed some really nice moves. And even in Oakland, Gabe, getting Littleton, the linebacker, they were just getting shredded up the gut all year last year. Teams could you could just call your shot on them if you had a quarterback that could just read a defense at the line. And they really answered that with the Littleton pickup and then having two first-round picks. You know, Ruggs is a bit of a wild card, but you see, you know, they got to, you know, Tariq Hill, take the top off type player. But both teams in the division and the Chargers. So, you're, I mean, it's hard to see the Chiefs getting knocked off. But, I mean, even the Chargers in free agency, as I mentioned to you, Gabe. You know, I mentioned the defensive players. They also revamped the O-line with Bulaga and Trey Turner from Carolina. So, you know, every team in this division made really good additions. Like, as an outsider looking in, I put on those glasses. I don't think anyone's as good as the Chiefs, but everyone in that division is trying to cut the gap as big as it is in a big way.
And, you know, we see it. It's sort of like the Warriors in the NBA. No one's beating this team. No one's beating this team until you beat them. And it's like, yeah, whatever, F them. You know what I mean? Teams fall apart fast. Takes an injury here. Something breaks down. So let me ask you before we get you out of here, man, I was so excited for the draft. I broke it down and I was a day late, dollar short with my bets, bro. The draft was so predictable that it was too predictable.
Oh, you, right.
You know what I mean? It was one of those, like, I'm not like, oh, that's crazy. They did this. I was just like, no, it can't be this predictable. Someone's got to shake something up. Someone's got to be thinking differently. Right.
Yeah.
Nobody was, Jeff. Yeah. Nobody and you guys didn't have to trade up. That was the whole thing as well. You know, Quinn and Gettleman, they all, oh, you know, we're getting offers and stuff. And good job by the Dolphins and the Chargers for not calling the bluff and going, yeah, you know what? You're not taking these guys anyways.
Yeah, and not really believing anything that was coming from Jacksonville or behind. Because I guess when the Chargers and Dolphins found out what those teams were asking them, what could they be asking for the teams that were three or four spots or more behind them? But you're absolutely right. Like, I'm sitting there, like everybody, watching that draft. I'm staring at that clock and that Lions logo, like expecting it to change to a Chargers or Dolphins logo at any moment. Because that logo will change even before the TV guys catch on for a moment. You know, yeah, anyhow, I was staring at it, and you're right. Like, there were no trades. Everything kind of went incredibly predictable for the most part.
Yeah, like there were a few guys, like switches of guys, but it was the same position.
Yeah.
Like, you know, exactly. No one really thought Andrew Thomas would be the first lineman taken, but whatever he was by the Giants. It was like, and I was just a day, you know, I had a guy, you know, over 8.5, he goes 7. I got a guy under, he goes over by 1. I was like off, and it's on me. I did not think. I spent like a week, man, me and Cam. I'm like, where the hell are 6 wide receivers getting drafted? I'm like, who? I'm like, where? Show me the 6. I'm like, Higgins ain't going in the first round. Oh, this is a good one, Jeff. You know, this is where it really pissed me off, where I was right, but I was wrong. I thought outside the box. Shison, the kid out of LSU, his over-under was 16.5. I looked at it all, and I'm like, you know what? The Jacksonville Jaguars are really good at not caring what people think and finding these defensive stud guys. You know, like the other Josh Allen, right? They're Josh Allen. Like, they find these guys. They were great. You know, Jalen Ramsey, all the guys they drafted have been so good on defense over the years. And I was like, I could see the Jags really liking this Chaisson kid. And lo and behold, they did, but they took him at 20. I had him under 16.5.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he would go to the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb. But how did you do betting-wise? Because I got to be honest, bro, I got murdered. I got killed.
I did fine. My nice bets, Henderson,
under, got in on that sharp, and Love over. I lost. I had CeeDee Lamb being the first wide receiver. That was a bit of a that was a bit of a hit, and I lost on. I had Jefferson under 21.5, and he got picked at 22. So that was always yeah.
Everyone thought you had the Eagles.
Yeah, I sort of bought into that fucking hype train, but I won a few bucks. And I laid like big juice early in the process. I had him under 500. I had -500 on under 1.5 running backs in the first round from a while ago. And by the time it went off, it was like -1100. And never, that first running back didn't go till 32. So I never even had to sweat a single pick. I'd have been real nervous though if one went like 24 or something. That's when I'd have been in big fucking trouble.
For me, I've got, I got screwed over. I got screwed over because I don't have the options here as many books. It just it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm in a different world. Like,
yeah,
I was frustrated. I basically had access to one spot where I could really get it in, and they didn't have a lot of stuff that I liked, and I would have hit, and I could have hit. You know, I had a couple of smart takes, but betting wise, no, it really did piss me off. So now, you know, we'll see how the rest of the draft plays out, because a lot of people sort of, well, you know, there's nowhere near as much hype about Friday and Saturday now as there was. But this is when you're really built, right? I mean, the second round picks, the third round picks, the fourth round picks. Everybody knows the first round pick. Anybody can pick it. Every guy's pretty good. It's just sort of Russian roulette, and you get lucky or you don't. The kid delivers or not. But now is when the real scouting comes into play. And especially, you know, they didn't have their regular scouting process to go through this. So now when the real work begins this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even more so like round 3 and round 4, because those are the guys you get for the dirt cheap. Like this guy, you know, you get a starter out of that and you're paying them nothing. They'll be restricted out the balls for a couple more years after the contract. That's where you really got to hit in tonight. You know, day 2 is always a big night for like fantasy football, right? We're going to see like the running back run. And obviously we had a ton of receivers go last night as expected, but there are so many receivers in this draft. A lot of receiver needy teams knew they could wait for tonight. So for fantasy football, like dynasty geeks, tonight's sort of like the big night, especially in this modern era now. It's become the big night because running backs don't really go in the first round. So this is the geek out night for dynasty nerds.
All right. So let me, before we get you out of here, I wanted to get your take on this. So what's the deal here? It's Tiger and Peyton Manning versus Mickelson and Brady, which I guess, you know what? The fit actually makes sense, right? Peyton and Ty. I almost thought, like, when I heard about the foursome, I was like, so what? Is Brady with Tiger Woods? Like, how's this work out? But, no, Tiger and Peyton and Mickelson and Brady, because Brady is kind of sleazy, actually. So is Mickelson. It's like the two cheaters, almost, versus Tiger and Peyton, the two OG shucks guys that are really teabagging chicks and getting hammered. But all right, your excitement level for this, do you like it or dislike it more or less with the quarterbacks thrown into this?
Yeah, I think I like it a little more. I don't really care. I mean, it's fun. It's golf. I think it'll come off better than the NBA doing their like horse thing. So I don't know. I'm not really going to mind anything.
What's the date?
I want to say it's like May 18th. My daughter's birthday, Labor or Victoria Day, a long weekend here in Canada. That's sort of what stuck out to me, which I think is also a long weekend. It's like the May 2-4 weekend here in Canada.
Which I think is
also something there.
Yeah,
maybe it isn't. I don't have a freak.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day here. Memorial Day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been, you know, all the afternoon baseball and all that fun stuff. I don't know. I don't mind.
Something to bet on.
Tiger Grove. Yeah, something to bet on, and as people learned the last time, like
yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, listen, there's not an official. Turner, Turner has not announced a venue in a date. An ESPN source says the event is likely to be played in Florida around Memorial Day. Exactly. One venue has been floated is the Medalist in Holby Sound, where Woods is a member.
Yeah. And as you know, as people learned the last time they sort of did this thing, I don't know. You always lean towards Mikkelsen as in a cash game.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, great call. Great call right now. And you know what? You remember, I hated the thing last year. I didn't watch it. Like, and it wasn't one of these moral, oh, I'm boycotting it. I wasn't going to watch. I was like, F them. I was mad they were keeping the money. I was like, you rich, like, greedy bastards. I was like, nobody cares. I was so pissed. But I was like, Bob Mickelson's going to win. Remember, I told people, I was like, Bob Mickelson's going to win. And I bet on Mickelson. And exactly like you said, dude, it's like a bowl game. You know what I mean? When one school, man, they want that trophy for the mantle. Like, Phil Mickelson wants the money. He wants to beat you. And who's more competitive between Peyton and Brady? Come on, man. Brady and Mickelson together? Is Brady a good golfer?
He's about a stroke and a half worse handicap, I think, than Peyton. I felt like they were showing Peyton's like a 6'6", and Brady's like an 8. But who knows what that means.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, it's nice to slowly but surely we'll start to get some sports back. Did you watch – we've only got about 2 minutes here, so I'll just ask you, did you watch the documentary on the Bulls at all, the Last Dance documentary?
Yeah, I did. It's good content. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to watching it
It's just
again.
Funny seeing man, the putter looks small with Jordan, huh? At the time, he didn't have, like, a bigger putter. Like, he had one of those old school – like, he was, like, leaning over, like, as far as possible, draining putts.
Yeah. Yeah, all that. We'll see. Gabe, I can't get over, like, how baggy, like, the clothing he's wearing on the golf course. That sort of, like, captivated me.
He can. So one thing he can do. People always thought it was weird, too, that Jordan – I like that Pippen said when he was a rookie, Jordan got him a bag of golf clubs. Pippen said, yeah, he was just doing it because he was trying to shake me down for money.
I believe it.
He was just trying to shake me down. All right, Jeff, so stay safe, you and your family. I'll probably
see you
once people are allowed to see each other. I'll eventually be back – I mean, this thing's just going on forever right now, right? There's no end in sight with this. So I'll be back in Toronto, at least briefly. I don't know. I think I'm going to spend a summer in Vancouver. But I'll be coming to Toronto. Hopefully we get some sort of sense of normalcy. We'll do a social distance get-together over at Wild Wings again.
All right. Stay safe, Gabe. All the best.
You take care of yourself. There's Jeff Feinberg with us, Charger fan that is accepting Justin Herbert as his quarterback. Morency Unfiltered, get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I am Renzi, throwing it down with the one and only Mick Aussie. as Jeff Feinberg stepped up and in and kicked it with us earlier. And, of course, Feinberg is a supercharger fan. Guy loves his Chargers football. And Mick is a Denver Bronco fan. And we brought up, it'll be interesting to see if this rivalry takes center stage again. And they're playing, you know, for playoff spots and division titles in a couple of years down the road, as the Kansas City Chiefs aren't going to they're not going to run the league forever. And the Chargers get Justin Herbert, but a big night for the Denver Broncos in the first round of the National Football League draft. There were a lot of rumors that they were going to they wanted to get Jerry Jeudy, that they were going to move up to try to get one of these stud wide receivers. And they didn't have to move up to get Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy falls right into the Denver Broncos' lap at 15. Mick Ossie steps up in it. What's up, Mick?
Yes, mate. Well, I'm glad it's Jerry Jeudy and not Judge Jeudy. I don't know why she makes so much money. But, yes, I used to like the Chargers when they're in San Diego with Darren Bennett, my Aussie mate. But I have no love for them at all. I even dumped my favourite Bronco, one of them, Chris Harris Jr. I dumped him from Twitter as soon as he joined the Chargers. So no love at all, mate. I like San Diego as a city, and you and I had a great time down there on the beach area. So no love for the Chargers, mate. None at all.
Yeah, you know, San Diego is a beautiful, really nice town. Really nice town. We were only there briefly, and I was pretty drunk. So I didn't get a chance to really, really get around, but type of place that if you're in a witness protection program and you want to disappear, you know what I mean? It's like quiet. No one would ever expect you to be in San Diego. But the beach, real nice in San Diego. Nice, like, beachfront bars and restaurants and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, the Broncos, though, it's been a nice offseason for the Broncos, actually. Yeah, you traded Harris, but you bring in Bowie, who is almost more of a fit for the scheme that they want to run. As me and Feinberg talked about earlier, Melvin Gordon shores up the backfield. Lindsey's good, but Gordon's better. Now you've got a real, real backfield. You bring in Jerry Jeudy, who's very, very crisp. Like, this kid, like, runs very tight routes. And, you know, is he a superstar? I don't know if he's a superstar, but he's really good, right? Like, he's really good. And you've got a young quarterback in Drew Lock. You've got a smart defensive coach in Vic Fangio. You know, the Broncos are still, a year or two away here, but it was a mess for a couple of years, Mick. At least the Broncos are on the right track once again. Elway had a shaky couple of years, but he's getting on track now.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And we just got to, my biggest issue, need a new O-lineman. I mean, this Garrett Bowles, just because he got picked in, I believe, the first round a few years ago, he's terrible. And Mark Solaris, as you know who he is, he disses him every week. So Garrett Bowles, he's got 1 year left on his contract. So let's hope they go O-line in round two. And then we maybe need an inside linebacker. We need a cornerback. So, yeah, we've got some needs, mate. But I like what we're building. Cortland Sutton's awesome. Noah Zark Fant. He did okay near the end of the year. He was a bit disappointing early in the year, but he might come good. So, yeah, I think we're on the right track, mate. And, yes, Drew Lock, he does look good. So let's hope he progresses. But you never know with these young quarterbacks, eh?
Well, you never know with anything right now. But the UFC is coming back, Mick. They're going to be in Florida. And you see, Florida's a whacked-out state. They're open for business. You know, the NFL, I just don't see it. They're not going to be able to play in every stadium. You know what I mean? Like, they're not. Like, I don't see the Giants or the Jets playing at MetLife Stadium here. Or maybe they will, but with no fan, you know, obviously with no fans. But I'm almost thinking that they're going to have to play in just a few select cities and have all the teams there. But it's nice to at least have this normalcy of the National Football League draft and sort of forget that the world is whacked right now.
Yeah, it was okay on TV. I mean, I was a little bored with the TV coverage. ABC was a bit better than the ESPN one, but I was on the chat with you on Sports Grid, so that was an awesome extra option as well. So it was quite enjoyable.
It drags, Mick, the draft, hey. Right? The 10 minutes in between picks is too much. It just is. You know what I mean? Especially early, because you know who's going to get taken. So you spend 10 minutes waiting for the Bengals to take Joe Burrow. And then they take Joe Burrow, and then it's 10 minutes talking about Joe Burrow, right? And it's just like, it's like 20 minutes per pick almost, where it's just, it drags on too much. At least, you know, as the draft goes on, it goes to 7 minutes, it goes to 5 minutes, and it should almost be the other way around. When you're in the first round, you don't need 10 minutes. You already know all these players. You know, you've been planning for it forever. Basically, you should have 10 minutes when you're in the fourth and fifth round and sixth round, because that's when GMs are actually dealing with, oh, God, this guy just got taken. And, you know, you've got to dig a little bit deeper then. But nevertheless, but at least, like, you know, in the sports world right now, there's a lot of uncertainty about games, obviously, Mick. But the NFL, out of all the leagues, they have a lot of time to get ready still before September/October. And they have time to try to figure things out. But some of these other leagues, they're going to be in tough to come back right now.
Oh, absolutely, mate. And you've made some great predictions. And I remember, I don't know if I was on Twitter or your show, but I said, hey, this could be the last Super Bowl with a crowd. And the way it's looking, that could unfortunately come to fruition. But yeah, the hockey, they're wanking their chains at hockey. I mean, you kidding me? They're trying to say they're going to set up hubs for hockey and finish the season. I don't see it. I think it's just to keep the fans here in Canada, like, hyped up. I mean, the CFL, I'm pretty sure they can't do it. The AFL, the Australian Football League, they're going to make a decision on May the 10th as to when they may come back. But Hutchie, a legend media guy in Australia, he thinks that we may have a two-month period in Australia with AFL where we can play, where there's no North American sports on. So we might really be able to market the AFL into North America like we did in round one. But, mate, it's a dangerous game with spitting and sweating over you. So I don't know if I can see it. But Australia is doing quite well in containing COVID-19 for sure.
So the AFL is hoping that they can get back this summer?
They are, mate, but it's all money. And remember round one, we were conflicted whether they played. Like, we were glad they played because we got to talk about and bet on it and great publicity. But they really did it just to get that first check from the TV companies, mate. That was a big factor. So they will be judged whether they should have played or shouldn't play. But they're talking down there, setting up hubs, maybe in Townsville up in the north of Australia where there's some beautiful fields, and doing the hub kind of thing like they're talking with NBA and hockey. Oh, they might pull it off. But like we said last time, mate, you're spitting and sweating over each other. So get a helmet, get a rubber helmet, kind of make some mask if you can. But you're going to sweat a lot. As long as you can breathe properly, you might be able to do something like that. I don't see it. I don't see it, mate. Let's be honest. You call it, Gabe. You call it that this thing is not as bad yet as it probably will be. So unfortunately, I don't know, mate. They're cancelling all the summer events here in Edmonton. So it's not looking good. It's going to be a bit of a dull, boring summer, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately, Mick. And really, like, you see, like, the nut jobs in Georgia, right? They opened up tattoo parlors and bowling alleys. Dude, they opened up bowling alleys in Georgia on Friday. They interviewed one of the bowling alley owner. He didn't want to give his name and stuff. He said, I'm surprised that they're letting me open, and I'm surprised that people are even coming. And he had a bunch of people waiting in line to go bowling, but the point is, in Georgia, they said basically the safest time to open, according to the model right now, would be June 22nd. And it's the same thing, Mick. Like Toronto, like, had like the longest date. I don't know what it is in Edmonton. Like, what's the official sort of the date? Like, and then they'll announce a new one. Did they say like the end of May or June 10th, or did they ever announce a date in Edmonton and what should shut down for?
Actually longer, mate. Like, they're cancelling now some big events like the Heritage Festival, where our Aussie footy team, we make a lot of money selling.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the city.
Kangaroo burgers.
That doesn't mean the. Sorry? That doesn't mean the city will be shut down. It's the same thing in Toronto. Like, Montreal canceled the Jazz Festival, but, you know, like, Toronto canceled every event and every festival throughout the summer. But the plan is through June 30th. Then they'll ease up the restrictions, because they can't keep people inside forever, right? And you can't do it ever. And everyone knows. That's a long story short. Basically, it's not safe to ease up until like the end of June in North America. All right? Like, smart people know this. So the end of June, and that doesn't mean that, hey, yeah, play, you know, get 106 guys and start tackling each other. Right? It means, no, you can leave your house, go to the store, and whatever. Like, it eases up a little bit. But it doesn't mean, like, full out. It's, like, literally the small phase one. So, you know, we're still a little ways away. But there are sports coming back. The UFC is going to be coming back May 9th in Jacksonville, Florida. Florida's open for business. And we've got some golf in Florida. And I normally don't bring up golf with you very often, although you're Australian and golf is very popular, a lot of great Australian golf players over the years. But your boy, the rivalry continues. Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. They face off again. And this is actually pretty cool. Normally, I don't really like things like this. Like, I didn't care for the first Mickelson and Woods matchup. But the fact that you're throwing Brady and Manning in this, so it's Phil Mickelson teamed up with Tom Brady, the two cheaters. And then, you know, I don't want to upset you, but yeah, none of these guys are like angels and angelic in this. But Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning in golf. And Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning are favored, minus 150. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning are favored, minus 150, because Tiger's a popular guy. And the thing is, Peyton Manning is a little bit better golfer than Tom Brady is, I guess. Feinberg, you know, knows everything about golf and football. And he said, yeah, Brady's a good golfer, but Manning's like one and a half strokes better than Brady is. So what, you're going to get excited for this? You're going to put your Peyton Manning jersey on and get hammered and watch this, Mick?
Wow, I don't miss out on much, but that's the first I've heard of that. But I will be supporting Tiger Woody and Peyton Manning because I'm not that keen on Phil Mickelson after he kind of did that little roll. He put the ball in the hole. That was a good little cheat, wasn't it? But I do like Tom Brady as well, so I'll be keen for that, yes. And golf,
if you think about it, though, so Phil Mickelson, listen, he's a hustler. I don't know if Phil's really a cheater, but he did cheat. You know what I mean? He did. Like, it was a little one of those little hustles. He got caught. You know, they all, you know, they'll do it if they can improve their lie and stuff, but he was pretty, you know, that was too much. You know, he's putting balls and, you know, he pushed it. He lost his mind briefly, but he did it. Tom Brady's been nailed. The Patriots are the definition of cheaters. The Deflategate was stupid, but he did it. Tiger Woods was banging like every Hooters waitress in America when he was married, right? Like, and honestly, between you and me, I think Tiger Woods took steroids too, right? And then I know you don't like it, your boy. His image is pretty good. You know, you had the incident in Tennessee, could have been a misunderstanding, and and then you had the Al Jazeera report that you discounted because it was Al Jazeera. But I never thought Peyton Manning was like a cheater, like, oh, he's cheating, taking steroids and stuff. The guy was 40 years old, had neck surgery, right? He took some like, you know, HGH or testosterone type of product that doctors give to normal people all the time. So it doesn't take Peyton Manning's accomplishments at all. Yeah, you know what, Mike? I didn't know the odds for it. I didn't really, you know, when they announced it, I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it's interesting. The thing is, Phil Mickelson loves money, man. All right? Like, the guy's greedy, Mick. Like, he's rich already, but he likes money. He bets. Like, he plays money for golf with people when he's not on tour. Like, he's all about money. And he beat Tiger last time. And Tiger was favored. And they were playing for 10 mil. And I knew Phil wanted that 10 mil and would beat him. And it's the same thing. You got Phil and Tom Brady. Brady's incredibly competitive, Mick. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to want to win. They're going to want to win this thing. It's actually going to be fun to watch. I do look forward to this, and I'll end up betting on it.
Well, I'll take Tom Brady, and you mentioned Tennessee. I didn't actually know what this saying was coming from Australia, doing a tea bagging, but I can guess what it is. I mean, I've got a big mug of tea here. I love drinking tea, but yeah, that tea bagging saying that you keep talking about it, it's kind of easy to guess what he did. But hey, we all make mistakes. Phil Nicholson made a mistake. Peyton Manning made it a couple. I've definitely made mistakes, mate. So we've got to forgive people unless they make really bad ones. Then I don't forgive them, mate. Or else it takes a long, long time. It takes a long time for me to forgive someone.
It's true. You're right, Mick. Like, we live in a cancel culture right now, right? Like, you know, if somebody could be a good person, do this for years, and you find, oh, my God, he did this once 22 years ago. And it's like, oh, they're done. Right? They get erased from society. As you stated, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. There's certain things you can't turn back from, right? Where you're like, all right, yeah, that's just too much. But yeah, Peyton Manning in college, you know, whatever. We don't, you know, I'm not judging people. I've busted his balls a little bit about that. But Peyton's a charismatic person. That it's going to be entertaining with him and Brady. Peyton Manning, they'll be talking smack and stuff. So little sense of normalcy. All right, Mick, stay safe out there on the streets, and despite what Trump said, don't spray Lysol into your lungs or drink any bleach, huh?
I heard something about that, so yeah. Well, there's a lot of bad things that are happening from this COVID, but there'll be some good things come out of it, so hopefully these rich athletes realize how lucky they are with all that money, and they might become a bit more normal after all this. But yeah, Gabe, let's hope it all gets back to normal soon. Stay safe there in New York, mate. I'd rather be here for sure. See you later.
Mick Aussie, get on the grid. Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.